Today's message from Romans chapter 8 is entitled Triumphant Love. And here's the life lesson for the day. Are you listening? God's great love for us in Christ Jesus our Lord enables us to become conquerors through every trial for His sake. Let me say that again. God's great love for us in Christ Jesus enables us to be more than conquerors through every trial for His sake. James Montgomery Boyce compares the powerful, eternal, unchangeable, unfathomable, life-transforming, triumphant love of God for us in Christ to a mountain climber tied to his guide with that necessary safety rope. And imagine yourself climbing a mountain for the first time, inexperienced, and that guide takes you up. He knows every place to put his hands and his feet, and you're strapped to him, and he's secure. If you fall, he will not. And Boyce goes on to say this. He says, because the route is treacherous, he often slips, but he does not fall because the rope is attached to the guide who knows the way. Christ is our guide who never slips, and the rope that ties us securely to Him is His great love for us, as seen especially in the cross. And I think that's a wonderful picture to say, you know, life isn't easy. How many of you would agree with me that life isn't easy? Raise your hand if you could say, man, it's not easy. I've had trials, I've had troubles, it's not turned out the way I thought it would. And those are the times we're attached to Christ, but maybe we slip, but He never lets us fall because of His love. So open your Bible with me to today's text, Romans chapter 8, and beginning in verse 35. And we'll read through verse 39. The Apostle Paul says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter, quoting from the Psalms. And then he says, yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And you know, when I read those verses, I remind myself it's about God's love. You know, why doesn't it say that yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through our effort to be good, through the keeping of the moral code, through even God's hope, or through our faith? It says through God's love, we are kept and we are more than conquerors. So let's say a few words about God's love. I just wrote, God's love is. If I said, fill in the blank, God's love is, what would you say? I think from some of our songs, we might say, God's love is amazing, or God's love is this, or God's love is that, is forever, I see somebody sharing. Well, I would say these things right up front. that God's love is consistent and faithful. God is not reactionary like we are. He maintains. He's always there. He never gives up. See, God is not fickle in His love. We are fickle in our love, you see. He is not selfish. He is selfless. And God's love is always for the good of the beloved. That's where we get our highest and our best definition of love. Now, famously, the Apostle Paul, the same man that wrote Romans 8, wrote 1 Corinthians 13. It's known as the love chapter in your Bible. But you've got to know, Paul did not write the love chapter as something to be read at weddings. The love chapter is the meat of the sandwich that fixes a fractured church. The church at Corinth was divided over the gifts of the Spirit, especially speaking in tongues. And Paul points out the gifts and points out the issue. And at the end, he gives, here's how you functionally correct it. But in the middle, he says, do you know what's going to hold your church together? Love. He said, love's the answer. Now, before we get carried away, it's God's kind of love. And listen to what he says about God's kind of love. He says, God's kind of love is patient. And God's kind of love is kind. And God's kind of love is not envious, and God's kind of love is not boastful or proud, and God's kind of love is not rude. You know, if we just listen in on some of our conversations and observe how we treat one another, I think lots of times in the church our love is not patient, and our love is not kind, and our love is rude, if it's even love at all. See, we need to hang in there, even with the most spiritually, disobedient person like God hangs in with us. He doesn't change because we change. He remains the same. And it says His love is not self-seeking. His love is not easily angered. His love does not keep score. See that 70 times 7 thing of how Jesus answered Peter? That's 490. That's way too many for me to forgive somebody. Okay, and He wasn't even giving a finite number. He was giving an infinite number. I mean, with me, you might get 6 or 7 chances, and that's about 4 more than the rest of you get. Right? But we wear out quickly, a lot more quickly than God. And I'm not saying we hate somebody, but we stop loving them. We stop loving on them. We stop saying welcome. And then it says that love doesn't delight in evil things. God's love isn't happy with sinful lives. And it says God's love rejoices in and with the truth, and His love is protective, His love is trusting, His love is trustworthy. God will not trick us. And there it says, now God's kind of love produces hope, and it never gives up. And ultimately, the Apostle Paul says, God's kind of love will not, it cannot fail. But I have to say, sometimes I've wondered, have you? You know, whether it's just the circumstances of our lives or how somebody else treats us, or, you know, one day we'll get real honest with ourselves and look in the mirror and say, I don't even know if I'm a Christian. Because of the ways we act. Pastor Stephen Cole says this. He says, no truth will transform your life more than God's gracious love for you in Christ. To the extent that you can understand it, feel it, and live it daily with a deep sense of its reality, you will live in victory over temptation and sin and be able joyfully to persevere through the trials. Why? Because of love. God's love. God's kind of love. The reality of God's love. Now here's something I say. It is more important to know, experience, and live God's love than it is to extrapolate God's love, or to qualify God's love, or explain God's love, or completely even understand God's love. Now I've got to tell you, with an earthly comparison, I don't know why Kathy still loves me. And sometimes I wonder, why do I still love her? Right? I mean, love is a mystery. There's something that says I can act like an idiot and she can still sit under my sermons. I don't understand that sometimes. I'm surprised she doesn't get up, you know, in my ministry at least one or two or six or eight or 20 or 30 times and say, this guy is a jerk. You know? You ought to hear what he said to me the other night. You know? She's never done it, praise God. She doesn't even gossip. I really like that about my wife. She's not into gossip. But I've just got to tell you, you know, she loves me. Love covers it all. And I love her, you know. And she has no faults, right? Isn't that what you told me? But you see, how is it, you know, years ago when I was 18, she was 19, remember? I mean, this all started and it's still wonderful and great. And that doesn't mean we haven't had trouble. That doesn't mean, you know, we've not gone, had our ups and downs. We all have. But the only thing I can say, what's held us together, you know what it is? What is it?
Love.
And see, I want to tell you, in sort of the cold, theological, I can tell you all the Greek words kind of teaching that we do, sometimes we reduce love to simply the doctrine of love, the understanding of love, and there is no feeling in it. And we see it as a command and say, well, I guess I'll love you because I have to. Our marriage doesn't work that way, and our marriage is a picture of the Father, Son, Spirit. It's a mystery, okay? But I've got to tell you, I believe your love relationship with God does include feelings. It does include, you know, confidence. It does include joy. It does include hurt. It does include saying, I'm sorry. It does include all of those things. It's not simply, you know, we'll read that love chapter and say, isn't God good? And leave it at that. And so, brothers and sisters, I would want to say to you that not only do we need to love the world with God's love, we need to love each other. If I ask you, is North Street a very loving church? I bet you I would get, if I said rate it 1 to 10, I'd get 1s and I'd get 10s and negative 5s and a few people might get plus 20, you know, who knows what. But I just want to say, love is a part of who we are. Now, of course, God's holy love through Jesus Christ. Now, did you get that in the text? The Apostle Paul said this. He said, God's love is greater than tribulation. God's love is greater than distress. God's love is greater than persecution. God's love is greater than famine. God's love is greater than nakedness. God's love is greater than danger. God's love is greater than sword. Now, in Paul's day, many were suffering hardship and persecution and even martyrdom because of their commitment to Jesus Christ and the gospel. And he says, you know, even if you lost your husband last week as a martyr to the faith, it's God's love that'll keep you coming. It's God's love that'll hold you there. It's God's love that will, you know, begin the healing process. Paul was equipping them and in turn equips us with the knowledge that we need not only to persevere through trials for Christ's sake, but by holding on and never rejecting the love of God through Christ, we will be as conquerors through all of our difficulties. And did you notice? The list is autobiographical. Paul went through tribulation and distress and persecution and famine and nakedness and sword and danger and ultimately was killed by the sword or ultimately killed. And so he says, you know what works for me? God's love. You know what will work for you? God's love. You know what's there when nothing else is there? God's love. Now, we may not be experiencing the same intensity in persecution or distress or danger or sword, although weekly we are hearing more about these things across the world. We do experience trials and trouble in our life, and it is the resounding love of God that keeps us keeping on. So I want to make some everyday application by sharing four greater thans today. The first one is this, that God's love is greater than our failures. Sometimes things don't work the way we thought they would. Sometimes we really try and we lay it before the Lord and we make our best effort and we pray, but they fail. What's the condition of your marriage and your family? Not so easy. It may have failed, it may be failing, but I've got to tell you, one thing remains the same. God still loves you. He's loving you right through it. Or we think about, you know, our church life might be a little bit rough, or our spiritual journey is not as victorious as we thought it might be. But there's one thing that doesn't change, and that's God's love for you. Even when we take an exit off God's freeway, He still loves us. When the fruit of the Spirit's not so evident in our life, we might give up on Him, but He doesn't give up on us. You ever feel like giving up? Have you ever had a standoff with God? See, how long did it last? A day? A week? 3 months? 3 years? 10 years? But you know, even when you didn't know what to think, where are you? Do you love me? Does my life count? Guess what? He was loving you the whole time because His love never failed. And as I was thinking about that, I thought about one of our favorite hymns that we sing here. It's called Untitled Hymn. We call it Come to Jesus. And Chris Rice says this. He says, weak and wounded sinner, lost and left to die, raise your head for what? Love is passing by. Why did he say love? Because it is what God says. It's not hope is passing by, or faith is passing by, or opportunity is passing by, or success is passing by. Love is passing by. And He says, you know what you do now? Come to Jesus. And another verse says, and like a newborn baby, don't be afraid to crawl, and remember, when you walk, sometimes we fall. And so when you fall, fall on Jesus. That's what He says. You know why? Because He'll still love you. When you come back, He won't reject you. He will lift you up. And the next verse says, sometimes the way is lonely and it's steep and filled with pain. Does that describe your life? Lonely and steep, filled with pain? And He says, in those days, then cry to Jesus. You know why? Because He'll hold you and He'll embrace you and He'll receive you because He loves you. So I want you to understand that our failures, our sins, our shortcomings do not diminish the love of God for us. His love for us is something He decided ahead of time. It is clear from the Word and from life's experience that God's love will see you through the times of failure. You might doubt yourself. You might wonder about your circumstances. That's all okay. But don't doubt that God loves you because He does. Secondly, I say this, God's love is greater than our fractures. Not just our failures, our fractures, because sometimes our failures turn into fractures and it really hurts. It's not just a sprain, it's a broken bone. I think of fractured relationships, fractured horizontal relationships, like fractured marriages. In God's church, I think that sometimes if someone's divorced, we make it as if it is the unforgivable sin. And divorced people can begin to feel like, I'm no good to God now. God doesn't love me anymore. Of course, we're not for divorce. We want people to work it out. But the truth is, divorce happens. But I want you to know, your friendships may change. You know, what you think of how you started out and the kind of wife or husband you were going to be may change, and you know, people's opinion of you may change, but God's love never changes. and fractured relationships and fractured friendships and a fractured church. God's love, you got to hear it. God's love is greater than divorce. God's love is greater than our opinions and our preferences. God's love is greater than the color of our skin. Pastor Charles and I talk every week, and that's something we need to understand. What makes us brothers and sisters is the love of God in Christ. Not the things that we might pick out to be the things that make a difference. God's love is greater than, you know, the man doctrines that we come up with. You know, to really be holy, you'll need to fulfill this list. Or, you know, if you don't agree with me on the view of the second coming of Christ, then you're not a Christian and I am. But see, it's God's love that says we don't have to agree on everything. We don't have to all dress the same, look the same, worship the same, and we don't have to have all the same view of at least certain things. Is Jesus the Christ the only way to heaven? Yes. Is the Bible the Word of God? Yes. For me, if we agree on that, we likely can work side by side. Others have a little longer list. But that's where I seem to, you know, say it works for me. God's love is greater than the reasons we no longer have fellowship with this one or that one. You know, sometimes there'll be a fracture in a relationship of mine, and I'll remember it's fractured, but after a couple of months or a couple of years, I don't remember why. You ever get like that? Like, I'm mad at him, but why was I mad at him? You know? Or he hurt me. What did he do? I don't remember what he did. You know? And it's just a good day. Then when you get over it and you experience the freeing and the cleansing and the renewed relationship, it's a breath of fresh air. And even sometimes in our own standoff with God, our own fracture with God against Himself, you see, the same advice holds true. Whenever you've cut off God, whenever it's a broken relationship, get over it and turn back to God and experience the freedom and the cleansing and the power of a right and renewed relationship with Him. And it's all possible because of what? His love. See, God could have said, violate me once, violate me twice, violate me three times, it's over. But His love is never ending. Thirdly, today I want to say that God's love is greater than our troubles. That's not new news. That's what Paul said. He's greater than our tribulations, our problems, the issues at hand. I would have to say in my years of ministry, if there's an occurrence in people's lives where they'd say, I'm not sure God loves me like He loves everybody else, I would say it's in a time of physical sickness, long drawn out physical sickness. I've had people say, this is my cross to bear. God's punishing me for my sin. But you know what? Even in our sickness, God, He loves us and He loves us just the same. Don't give up. Don't think that God has quit loving you. He has continued to love you. God's love is greater than our anxieties and our worries and our fears. You know, Kathy and I are headed to Thailand a week from Monday. And we're not fearful about that kind of stuff, but you do have to think ahead. We've got an appointment to update our will on Tuesday. This could be my last sermon at North Street Church. But see, if you start to think about all that stuff, you just wouldn't go. And I'd stay home and get hit by a car crossing the street over here, you know, in front of the church. But you know what I mean. If we let the things that might happen govern our lives, we would just freeze up. You see. But you know what keeps us going? The love of God. And to say, you know, if we both go down, we do. We're seeing glory. Okay, that doesn't make it easy for you and our kids and grandkids. But I mean, I have no premonition or no, you know, thing to say that's going to happen. But you just have to be ready. You just have to think again. But we have to know that God's love overcomes those fears and worries and anxieties. And even in the times of the hardest, you know, financial trouble you've ever had, God's love will never change. A stirred up family, a messed up church, in my ministry, mad missionaries sometimes, misunderstood servants of the Lord. You know what brings it all back together? The love of God in Jesus Christ. It's not a list that says, okay, did you do this, 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 this? Okay, you're okay now. That's not how love works. See, that's what pulls us back in there, even in our troubles. And lastly today, God's love is greater than our sin, obviously. I want to tell you this. If it were not for God's love toward us, then sin wins. Correct? Because sin is the great separator. And what did Paul say? Because of God's love, nothing can separate us from His love. He was the prime mover. He took the step first. He decided He would love us with that undivided love, that love that gives all. So the truth is that He even loved us while we were yet in our sin. And even when I'm on the run and I jump back into sin, His love remains, and it's His love that leads to my turning back and coming home in repentance and humility. And when we confess our sins, the Scripture says He's faithful and He's just and will forgive us again and purify us again. Why? Because of His love. His love. He just said, I love you. I just love those people. See? So, in thinking all of this through for a few weeks, I think a good question to ask is, you know what, of all the things Paul could have summed it up, you realize in Romans 1 through 8, theologians will say that is like the summit of all Scripture. And if Romans 1 through 8 is, you know, the top of the mountain, then Romans 8 is the peak. See? It's like the greatest teaching there ever was. And I would say, you know, it starts out with that no condemnation in Christ and leads to that adoption, leads to that groaning, leads to that intercession, leads to, you know, God's plan, leads to all things working together for good. And then Paul, he puts a lid on it, or he you know, takes it to the highest height, and he says, it's all about what makes all of this work is God's love. And so I think a good question is, why love? Why not faith? Why not hope? According to 1 Corinthians 13, they too remain. Why love? And the best answer I have is a biblical answer. It comes from 1 Corinthians 13. Now there remains faith, hope, and love, and the what? The greatest of these is because love is the greatest. That's why. Love is above all. Love is the greatest. God's love is the greatest. And so love is what enables you to never give up on God and each other and yourself. Love is what makes it hard to not keep trying. Sometimes you probably feel like, I quit this. Or I quit this family, or I quit this church, or I quit this God. But love says, no, there's some resounding note, there's some strong chord that keeps tugging away. See. And it is love that motivates you to try again. Even, you know, last week when you said, I'm done, I'll never, forget it. You know? And somebody doesn't, you know, hammer your head with doctrine and says, okay, I'll be back. It says, you know what? By the way, when you sing I Preach Deeper, did you know that? Did you hear that? I'll be back. Okay, that sounded like Charles. That's right. And I can't sing, so forget it. But But anyhow, you know, I just want to say, even when we think we're done, do you know what makes us start again? Love. Love is what moves us toward reconciliation. I mean, as we get older, we get smarter to say, I'm not going to go through all that turmoil, you know, of 3 weeks of idiocy and then say, okay, I still love you. You know, even toward God. Now I just say, Lord, I know You love me. I love You. Give me 10 minutes and I'll love You again. See, that's a relationship. See? So love lasts longer than injury or hurt or insult. Love lasts longer than human reasoning. Love lasts longer than our doctrinal differences. Love lasts longer than being mad at God. Love lasts longer than our failures, than our fractured relationships, than our troubles, than our sin. According to today's text, if you broke it down, here's some things it says. It says, love unites, love persuades, and love conquers. That's what it says. In all of these things, life and death, angels and principalities, tribulation, distress, famine, nakedness, sword, the ups and the downs. He says, it is love. I am persuaded that nothing can separate us from the love of God which is found in Jesus Christ our Lord. What persuaded him about the love of God? You know what it was? The love of God. So look at that one verse. I'll put it up here. He says, nobody, no thing can separate us from the love of God found in Christ Jesus. He said, not death or life. Now there's some hope there. Even when you die, God will not let go of you. It's not like you go into, you know, vapor space somewhere for a while and He comes and gets you. His love never lets go. Even when you die, or even when one of our beloved dies, they are still in the love of God. And life cannot separate you from God's love. He says the angels can't do it. The principalities and powers, spiritual rulers can't do it. The present can't do it. The future can't do it. The height of the heavens and the depth of the grave can't do it. There's nobody and there's nothing that can separate you from the love of God. So look with me to the last scripture of the day, Romans 5, 5 through 11, reminding you, same author, same letter, just a little earlier. Romans 5, 5 through 11. Paul says, now hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. What's the prime factor beneath hope? What's it say? The love of God. The reason we have hope is because God has loved us through, here, the Holy Spirit. And He goes on then to pick it up and remind us. And He says, look, for when we were without strength, when we had no hope, when we were weak and hopeless, when we had given up, when we didn't understand, when we didn't know, when we were troubled beyond, He says, when we were still without strength, in due time, at the right time, Christ died for the godly. Is that what it says? Christ died for the godly people? What's it say? He died for the ungodly people. And in the church, oftentimes, we would think He only died for the already good people. And Jesus said, there is no man that's good, of course. But you've got to understand, while we were out sinning, He said, I love you so much, I'm going to love you with a love that'll be the love of all loves. And send My Son to die on the cross for your sin. See, verse 7. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God, Those are two favorite words in the Scripture. But God. That's the way it was. But God demonstrates His own love toward us. His own love is demonstrated, is communicated to us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So let me ask you, does God love sinners? Yeah. Much more then, having now been justified by His blood. See, His love went all the way. It wasn't simply a feeling. It was action. And we have become justified by His blood, and we shall be saved from wrath through Him. We have a future promise, a deliverance from future wrath because of what? The love of God. For if when we were enemies we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life, delivered by His life. And not only that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. So you want a poster of love in your house? Of God's love, it's Jesus. But Paul says it's not just right doctrine. It's not just right theology. It's not just understanding Jesus died on the cross for you. You've got to know the love of God, the reality of the love of God experienced in your life is that cord that will pull you back out of the mess, that will make you try again, that will have you to hold on. Whether we believe it or not, God. See, He's been faithful. And He doesn't stop loving us. So you see then that God's love is triumphant. God's love conquers all. His love has produced our justification, a right standing before Him. His love has delivered us from future wrath. His love has brought the reconciliation. Two were separated. Now they are made one, and His love produces our joy. That's what we just read. Martin Lloyd-Jones said this. He said, indeed, our chief defect as Christians is that we fail to realize Christ's love to us. How important it is that we should meditate upon this love and contemplate it. It is because we fail to do so that we tend to think at times that He has forgotten us or that He has left us. And I say, let us live in the reality and the security of God's love, which is found in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let me pray and then we'll sing. Almighty Father, we come before You this day and we don't have to get so intense or lofty or academic for the power of Your love to be sent forth. And Lord, as we live in that love, help us to see it as You see it, and to experience it as You express it, and Father, to practice it as You have bestowed it upon us. Remind me, Father, that I am not a man's conscience or the Holy Spirit. That's not my job. My job is to share the truth in groups and individually, and let Your Word and Your Spirit do the work. And just like we heard again today, it does not return void. So, Father, You know the heart of every man in this room. You know the heart of every woman in this room. Every boy and every girl. And there's one thing that we all need, Father, and that is to be living in the truth of, be reminded of, that we are loved. And that brings that brings joy, that brings desire, that brings hope. And it also brings great responsibility, Father, that we would go forth telling of and sharing the divine love found in Jesus Christ at the cross, the highest expression, modeled in every area of our lives, at home, in public, at the church, at work, in the car. Father, it is Your love that never fails, that always remains the same. Thank You for this constant in our lives. So use these words, Father, to amaze us, to keep us humble. We don't have to read another book. We don't have to take a class. Just thank You for Your love in Jesus' holy name.